Well, just going back over the course of this past week, we're still getting some pretty strong economic readings coming out from the United States. And so some of the leading indicators, for example, we had the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Survey came out. That lifted to 111.7 from 109.6. It's gone from around about 90 a couple of months ago. So, obviously people are getting fairly optimistic over there. Part of that driven by the election result and the fairly smooth transition that's going through there to the new presidency. But many of the other indicators are coming in strong as well. We had another reading of Q3 GDP. It's still sitting there at 2.8%, so still very, very strong. And also the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now survey for Q4. That started life around about 2.5%. It's up to 2.7%, so not much different from Q3. So we've still got above-trend growth running through into Q4, according to this this reading that we get of various surveys from Atlanta Fed. One or two of the other indicators there, we had October pending home sales. They had a very strong rise going back to September, up 7.5%. Market expected they would come down. They didn't. They went up again, another 2%. So it suggests there's a lot of sales activity in the works for the housing sector. We had personal income, personal spending data. Personal income was expected to rise 0.3% in October. It rose 0.6%. That was after a 0.3% rise the month before. And personal spending up a pretty solid 0.4% after 0.6% the month before as well. And we've got another warning that inflation's getting sticky. We had that coming through from the CPI, where the CPI, we saw annual inflation lift from 2.6 to 2.8, with the core inflation reading just stuck at 3.3%. Well, we had the October core personal consumption expenditure deflator came out last week, and it was up 0.3% month on month. It was 0.3 the month before. The annual change has lifted to 2.8% from 2.7%. This has been drifting up over the last few months. And this is before we get to any of the policy prescription coming through from President-elect Trump as we go into 2025. So, we're hearing from time to time from Jerome Powell, the Fed. I think we hear from him again this week. And again, it'd be that warning. We're in no rush to continue cutting rates. So, they've got two away so far. They've still got a pretty high Fed funds rate of 4.75%. So there's still some leeway on that, but there really isn't much need for them to cut very much more. So just watching those features as we go through. This week in the US, we've got some pretty important data coming through. We've got things like the ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index and also the ISM Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, both coming out on Monday and Wednesday, respectively. The November ISM Manufacturing PMI out tonight is expected to lift a little to 47.7 from 46.5. So that's the weakest part of the US economy, and if anything, it's just showing some signs of lifting a bit. The ISM Non-Manufacturing PMI, or Services Sector PMI, that was at 56 going back to October. We expect to come back perhaps to 55.5, but that's still a very, very strong reading for the services sector. Initial jobless claims, which are down at 213,000 last week, expect to stay down roughly that, 215,000 the market thinks for this week. And right at the end of the week, we'll get November average hourly earnings, non-farm payrolls, and also the unemployment rate, probably the key readings of the week. And the average hourly earnings are expected to lift another 0.3%. They lifted 0.4% last month. And that'll keep the annual change around the 4% mark where it was the month before, which is really on the high side as far as the Fed's concerned. Also, non-farm payrolls, after lifting only 12,000 going back to October, we're past the damage from the hurricanes, and we'll probably get quite a hefty 202,000 gain for the month of November. We'll also get a lift in the participation rate, though, too. And so the market's thinking the unemployment rate might just tick up slightly to 4.2% from 4.1%, but that's still pretty low. In round terms, to keep cutting rates, the Fed needs that unemployment rate to be more like 4.4, 4.5, and we're nowhere near it. So that's the there's some pressure points building as far as the outlook for rates is concerned in the US. Moving to China, last week we had the manufacturing PMI came out. That lifted to 50.3 from 50.1. And also the non-manufacturing PMI, that slipped back a little bit, 50.0 from 50.2. So, yeah, they're okay-ish, but nothing dramatic there. We'll get the CAKES inversions of these coming out this week on Monday and Wednesday. The CAKES in manufacturing PMI last month was up to 50.3. Expects to lift a little bit further to 50.6. And the CAKES in services PMI was the unusual one. That was up at 52 and is expected to lift a little bit to 52.5. So that's suggesting that something's actually moving a little bit in the services sector, a little bit more support there coming through for growth in China. And you can see that to some degree because the iron ore price at the moment is confounding. It's pushing up further through $100 a tonne. That's not downwards, it's upwards. That's going entirely against everybody's expectations and suggests that something's a little bit stronger out there. Moving to Australia, most of the data we got here last week was on the firm side. We had Q3 construction work done. The previous quarter was marked at only 0.1% increase. They actually got revised up to 1.1%. So we might get some upward revision to GDP data when we get the GDP report this week, past ones. But they're expecting, or at least for Q3, the expectation was we'd have a 0.4% increase. We got a 1.6% increase. So that's going to be making a little bit of a contribution to GDP growth when we get the number out this week. We also got private new CapEx. That was pretty firm too. It was down 2.2% going back to Q2. Market thought we might lift by 0.9%. We lifted by 1.1%, so that was quite strong. We also got the October monthly CPI. Whilst this one held steady at the headline level, it was 2.1%, same as the month before. The trim mean actually went up from 3.4 to 3.5%, and that underlying inflation rate showing a lot of stickiness there is obviously going to be disturbing as far as the Reserve Bank is concerned. So that together with signs that the economy, if anything, is starting to lift a little bit here. And that takes us into the data reports for this week. Today we'll get October home building approvals. We had quite a good lift last month in September, up 4.4% month on month. It's expected that we got another rise of about 1.2% for the most recent month. We'll get some more contributions to GDP, but things like business inventories, company profits, and also net export contribution, mostly looking relatively firm. So company profits, for example, for Q3, they fell by 5.3% going back in Q2. They're expected to have lifted about 0.6% for Q3. And the Q3 net export contribution, which contributed 0.2 percentage points to GDP going back to Q2, is expected to lift around about 0.4 percentage points for Q3 when it comes out. We also get October retail sales coming out. It's thought they probably lifted about 0.4% after being up 0.1%. And then on Wednesday, we get Q3 GDP. The last three quarterly GDP reports have been 0.2% quarter on quarter. This one will break out on the upside, and we're looking for 0.5%. That will lift the annual rate of growth in Australia to 1.1% from 1.0%. Not dramatic, but a little bit of an improvement there. It may be more than that because there's a fair chance that the previous quarter's GDP might be revised upwards. So just watching to see how those figures come out, but it's a pretty firm report relative to where we've been when that one comes out. Just moving to Europe last week, and the standout there was really stickiness inflation as well. We had the November preliminary CPI came out, and it lifted to 2.3% year-on-year from 2% last month and 1.7% the month before. So it's just starting to motor up a bit, and the core CPI is just sticky on 2.7% year on year. Europe has been the one area where you could say with some certainty that inflation sort of was coming down towards the ECB's target. Even there, it's starting to drift away, so that's a little bit of a worry as we mark ahead. And again, it's one of those roadblocks which is in the way for even those central banks which are bringing interest rates down to perhaps slow down. I should have mentioned the RBNZ last week. RBNZ actually cut their cash rate by 50 basis points. They're now down to 4.25%. But you have to bear in mind that New Zealand has been in recession, and it's still looking at weak growth. The unemployment rate has risen considerably there over the past year, unlike Australia. And inflation has come down sharply. It's a bit of an odd man out in the way in which it's got some capacity to bring those rates down. And the other point was that running into those soft economic conditions, it lifted its cash rate at one point all up to 5.5%. So, that's one of the reasons why RBNZ can do things that the RBA can't. And here, we heard from the RBA governor last week that they're still looking at keeping the cash rate fairly much unchanged for the foreseeable future. Moving to what's coming out of Europe this week, we've got their unemployment rate coming out. That's probably going to stay down at 6.3%. That's a quarter century low point. And again, even in Europe where growth is pretty soft, you've got this pretty constrained labour market. Also, we've got some producer prices coming out. At least those were actually lift for the most recent month, probably about 0.4% month on month. They fell the month before. And October retail sales, which we've had two really strong months for retail sales in Europe, but it's probably going to give up a little bit in October, looking for that to be down 0.4%. So all told, when we look around the world, we're getting some roadblocks ahead for those central banks that are bringing rates down. We're also got some stickiness for those who haven't started yet, like the RBA. We're getting pushed out further and further into the future. Sure, overall economic conditions are still conducive to support for risk assets, but it'd have to be said that the valuations in some risk asset markets now is looking very, very stretched. Now, it'd be very unusual if we get some of that optimism giving away before Christmas. Typically, that's a buoyant time for risk assets. But the beginning of 2025, the first week of 2025, doesn't look at all attractive at this point. There's a real risk that we'll have highly overvalued markets that in that first part of the new year in thin markets will give up a fair bit of ground. So just watching ahead for that. And similarly for the bond markets, where the yields have consolidated a bit, in some cases in the US come back a little bit through the month of November, they probably have to lift a little bit further given the way that inflation is starting to move and just the outlook for official interest rates, which is just getting a bit stickier even for those who are bringing rates down.